Hey, Star Wars fans, it's David. I just wanted to drop a quick message before the actual show starts. Thank you guys so much for all of the support that you've given us over the past 2.5 years. In fact, many of you have been Patreon supporters. We have actually turned off our Patreon and we're no longer accepting any new supporters on that because we want this show to be about more than just taking. We want to be about giving. And so we are partnering with an organization that means a great deal to us. It's called One Child. They serve children living in extreme poverty all around the world. These children are living in less than $2 a day. And we have been partnering with them for some time and actually giving our own money to help support these children. And we want you guys to check it out. So go to a specific page on our website, TatooineSons.com/hope. Watch our video, learn a little bit more about it, check it out and see if you want to be a part of it. Thanks so much. May the Force be with you.
It's true. It's true. All of it.
And then Vader, as his last, you know, act of defiance, chokes Tarkin. And
the Force is strong in my family.
He's willing to annihilate an entire planet to prove a point.
Do or do not. There is no try.
Tarkin has a big opposition to the Jedi.
I am a Jedi. Like my father before me.
Tarkin definitely is one of those, the captain goes down with his ship, which he literally did with the Death Star.
We're not done yet.
One is Tarkin's just kind of more evil or like cold in
sadistic.
A sense. Yeah, sadistic.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look at all things Star Wars. From the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
A cheer to Star Wars fans. Thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you're probably still a fan of some of Peter Cushing's work.
Oh, yeah.
He was a huge horror actor.
Van Helsing. He was in Frankenstein. He was super famous for all of his horror stuff.
And then he did Star Wars.
And then he played Tarkin, which he's, more pink slippers. He's a horrible person. So anyway.
And of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So on that note, here's my dad, the Bowtie Jedi guy.
You stole my line.
That was a cheap move.
I was going to talk about his pink slippers now.
I already talked about
this. I know.
Don't get technical with me.
Like, if you don't know this, Peter Cushing wore pink slippers on the set of, like, in the movie. He's wearing pink slippers because
but you can't see him.
They didn't show his feet, and he wanted to wear pink slippers
because the boots were uncomfortable.
The boots were uncomfortable. So, anyway, so we should probably explain what's on the table.
Oh,
here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So,
you've got some cool stuff. We'll start with you, Sam. You can show that one. There you go. Awesome. Tell me what that is.
Carved from a log.
It's beautiful. Explain what it is.
So we went to Galaxy's Edge last Monday. Or not last Monday. Well, you know what I mean.
A week ago.
Anyway, and we had a reservation to Oga's, which was a lot of fun. That was a really cool experience.
Yeah.
And we were looking through the menu, and we saw that there was this drink called the Cliff Dweller. And it was $35. So immediately, you know, we were going to kind of be like, yeah, no, that's not worth it. But then we read the description. And it came in a collectible Porg mug. And we're like,
all right,
we have to get it. So we got it. It came in a mug. Not this one. They gave us like a fresh one that wasn't all sticky. But the drink was fine.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. That was my drink. I enjoyed it too. With it, what'd you guys have to drink?
The
Hyperdrive Punch It. It was actually their least expensive drink, or at least for the non-alcoholics. I don't know about the alcoholic drinks, but
it was the least expensive drink.
Right. It was good.
It was like Powerade with Sprite and a black cherry puree at the top.
It was good.
With a ton of ice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was cool. And then we had these like provisions, which are kind of like, I don't know.
We had to ask them what provisions were because it had concoctions and then it had provisions. And I'm like, I got.
Yeah.
I
so
got,
like,
what is that? So
there was a provision, and it was basically like a little petri dish, full of Jello, with some like dried blueberries, Pop Rocks, and I think some like Rice Krispie treats on it, or not Rice Krispie treats.
Just Rice Krispies.
No. Fruity Pebbles.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And then inside the Jello were a bunch of like bobas, like boba popping pearls, and it was really good.
It was.
I think we all pretty much enjoyed that one.
Even mom liked it.
What?
Which is not common.
Yeah. So it was exciting. But there was a drink that you guys wanted to have that you didn't get. What was that?
The carbon freeze. It was
what
like,
is supposed to be in that?
Like Powerade.
So I think there's Sprite.
Sprite and green apple boba.
Or something. Ooh, it looked really good.
They were out.
They were. Yeah. I don't know how.
The server was like, yeah, Oga's behind on her ordering and, and that kind of thing. That was fun watching them in character. But we're going to have a chance to get it again September 1st.
Yeah.
So
we're going to
be
going back. We've got reservations at Oga's Cantina. And what's exciting is you can come with us, and we'll talk a little bit about something different with that later. But you can actually have an opportunity to win one of these amazing Porg mugs, because we've got on our Twitter page at Tatooine Sons, pinned tweet is a thread with a series of questions. We want to get your feedback on the show, everything from content to hosts to entertainment value to production quality, all of those things. If you reply to every one of those questions, then your name is going to be included in a list of names that we're going to pull from, where someone's going to win a mug, a Porg Turbis mug from Galaxy's Edge, and you can only get it at Galaxy's Edge. So this is your opportunity.
And we'll do a live drawing.
Yeah,
right
we're gonna
there,
do
right?
Yeah, live from September 1st that evening, probably about 5:30. Just depends on when we can get in. We have a reservation, but it doesn't always happen the way that you think it's going to. So that'll be fun. We hope you guys will go over to our Twitter page and check that out. Now there's something else on the page or on the table. Explain what's going on here. Show them the amazing, beautiful art that is there. So BB Nate's got the Porg with the lightsaber going on, and it's he's getting ready to ignite it. And then he's got Samuel the Hutt over here with the Porg that's staring.
Usually staring down the barrel. Yeah,
usually staring down the barrel. Gentle Giant reached out a few weeks ago and said that they had found our podcast and they loved our show and they wanted to send us something. So they suggested we go to their website, look around and see if there was anything that we wanted. And I just replied and said, we're super big Porg fans. And they responded and said, we've got something. And it came in yesterday. And we're super excited about this. These are so amazing. I mean, describe what it was like when you guys actually held them and picked them up.
They're heavy. They are heavier than they look like. I'm not even sure what it's made out of, because I don't think it's like a... It's too hard to be like vinyl or anything. It might be like a ceramic.
Yeah. It feels like it might be resin, because most statues are made out of resin.
But it's a really high detail.
It's beautiful.
It's a really high quality.
Yeah,
it's great.
We're super excited about that. Check out Gentle Giant. This is not a paid endorsement. They don't give us money to do this.
No.
They sent this to us without asking us to do anything, but it's obviously some pretty amazing stuff. They've got great great products over there.
This is our first Gentle Giant product. Yeah,
they should make a life-size Porg statue. Like, what is it actually with the size?
That would be
a
awesome.
Full-size one? That would be awesome. All right, why don't we do this? Why don't we go into some hot takes? You guys ready for it?
Ready.
All right. We're going back to Batuu, and you can come with us. This is a little different than what we just talked about. Critics have agreed with fans on The Mandalorian, and we're finally getting the backstory for Supreme Leader Smoke.
Smoke.
I like it. Yeah, we're going to do the Smoke guy.
The ability to speak does not make you intelligent.
Right. And we're finally getting the backstory for Supreme Leader Snoke, just not the one everyone has been asking for. And that's all next on Hot Takes.
Are you brainless?
I never ask that question till after I've done it.
No! Star Wars Tales from the Galaxy's Edge details have been revealed. This is from StarWars.com. We're learning more about the adventures that await on Batuu when Star Wars Tales of the Galaxy...
Tales
from the Galaxy's Edge.
The ability to speak does not make you intelligent.
Is released later this year. We don't know when, but sometime.
Hey, at least it's coming out this year.
Give us some clues.
It's on COVID quarantine. Star Wars veteran voiceover actors Bobby Moynihan, who played Orca in Star Wars Resistance, and Deborah Wilson, who played Seer Junda in the hit game Jedi Fallen Order, will lead you through stories and adventures in the Outer Rim. And when you strap on your Oculus headgear, you'll be transported to a galaxy far, far away, becoming a droid repair technician who crash lands on Batuu after a pirate attack.
I got a bad feeling about this.
In typical Star Wars fashion, you'll quickly get swept into a grand adventure on the outskirts of Black Spire Outposts.
Outskirts of the...
Yeah, that thing. Samuel the Hutt. Does this game feel more immersive to you, or do you think it's going to be, than Vader Immortal?
I definitely think so. From watching the promo video they released when they were announcing this game, it seems like it's going to have a slight open world feel to it. I mean, it's not going to be something massive, but it's not going to be like Vader Immortal, where you were ushered along the story each episode. You didn't really have a choice of where to go, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that style of game. But I think with this, you're going to be able to walk around Black Spire Outpost like you would if you went to Galaxy's Edge. And you're going to be able to go in the shops. You're going to be able to talk to the people. And so you're not ushered to do certain actions or whatever. And then you're going to be able to go outside of Black Spire Outpost itself and explore new areas of Batuu, which is already going to make it like even cooler than just going to the park in and of itself. So, yeah, I think it's definitely going to be more immersive than Vader Immortal.
That's awesome. What do you think about that, BB Nate?
Yeah, I totally think that it's going to be way more immersive. And I love Vader Immortal, but this is already sounding better just because of where it's set and how it's being made. I do ask for one thing, though. In Vader Immortal, you couldn't move. You couldn't walk around, or it would yell at you, and the screen would go black. So I just hope that they fix that, because it would be useful in
like
this
game.
Like
to be able to walk, physically walk in a room and that kind of thing?
Yes, that'd be fun. But I really am excited for this game. It just sounds like a lot of fun. I don't know how they're going to add combat or action into it.
I think they're going to have blaster fights.
You're going to have a blaster. They said that. You're going against the Guavian Death Gang.
Tell that to Kanja Club.
With it. Here's the question that I have, since we were talking about porgs already this show.
Will we see any?
Did you guys see porgs? In like the concept?
Yeah, there's porgs. They said you're going to meet one or two.
Is Turbis going to be in this game?
I don't think it's going to be outright called Turbis by any means, but yeah, maybe.
Oh, man.
What if you're able to have one as a pet and then you name it Turbis?
I don't know. So people have joked that, you know, before Turbis was actually made canon, that all you had to do is take your shoulder porg that you got and give him a name and tell somebody in character in Galaxy's Edge that his name was Turbis, and Turbis just became canon. But that's not the way it works. He's in the comics behind BB Nate right now. So that's pretty cool. Awesome. The Mandalorian receives Best Drama Emmy nomination.
This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
Deadline.com. The Mandalorian has proven to be more than a fan favorite. It's a critical success as well. The flagship Disney Plus series received 15 Emmy nominations last week.
Great kid! Don't get cocky!
Including nominations for Giancarlo Esposito's guest actor role as Moff Gideon.
I like this guy.
A surprising nomination for Best Drama. Now, this is the first live-action nomination since Ewoks, The Battle of Endor in 1985. Other series nominated for Best Drama are Better Call Saul on AMC, which also stars Giancarlo Esposito on it. The Crown from Netflix, Handmaid's Tale from Hulu, Killing Eve from BBC America, Ozark from Netflix, Stranger Things from Netflix, and Succession from HBO. BB Nate, what are the chances that The Mandalorian actually wins Best Drama?
Not likely.
I have spoken.
It's just
blunt.
Just all of these other shows have been really big for their whole runtime, and they've been running for a while. It's just everybody loves these shows, and they're really big. This one's a new kid, and it's Star Wars. Star Wars doesn't get a lot of love from award shows because it's pop culture, and pop culture is...
Yeah, but you've got, you know, Stranger Things on here as well.
Yes, but it's just, I don't think it will win. Do I want it to? Of course, because out of Stranger Things, I haven't seen any of these other shows. So, but... Yeah, I don't think it'll win, sadly.
Okay. Samuel the Hutt, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it has a chance either. I would certainly love for it to win, but...
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Knowing, like, what critics like from watching, like, you know, the Oscars and things like that, Star Wars is not usually the thing that'll win. They'll probably go for something like Handmaid's Tale, because I know that one's, like, real popular and very... critic appealing, I guess, but no, I don't think it will.
Which like the modern translation of that is it's weird. But anyway,
you look at some award shows and critics love the weird stuff, which is why Star Wars won't win, because it's generally geared towards normal people,
right?
But I mean, it's just an achievement in and of itself to be nominated for Best
Especially
Drama.
Especially,
it's an honor just to be nominated. It's so funny. We just told everybody that watches our show or listens to our podcast that if they will like The Handmaid's Tale, that they're weird.
I didn't say that.
Well, that smells stinkish.
I didn't say that. I was talking about critics.
We sort of did. Okay.
I was talking about critics.
All right.
Y'all are cool.
I think it's just amazing that they got nominated.
15 times.
Yeah, 15 times. It's so awesome. You know, again, this comes back to we've been saying for almost 3 years now that Star Wars is far from dead. You know, Empire Strikes Back was the number one movie when it was going up against these others. Now you've got the Emmys nominating 15 different nominations for this Best Drama. It's just Star Wars is going to go strong, and it's going to probably find its best home on Disney Plus. Going forward, at least until 2023, and then who knows if you know, what's going to happen with movies with that. All right, Smanokes creation finally explained. Don't get excited. It's not as exciting as it sounds.
This is not going to go the way you think.
Inverse.com, the past 5+ years have been loaded with various Snoke theories and some fun being poked at them. Some Snoke theories that sucked, Saunders, include the survival of Mace Windu, the resurrection of Darth Plagueis, and, of course, Emperor Palpatine himself. But the designer of the Supreme Leader has finally revealed who the character's look was based on. Interestingly enough, Peter Cushing, who's played Tarkin, which is
our main topic
for this week in the original Star Wars. Samuel L. Hutt, is it possible that these design nods to Tarkin are actually revealing that the origin of Snoke, that Snoke was Tarkin?
That's not how the Force works.
No, I don't think that's the case at all. I'm pretty sure Tarkin's kind of space dust right now. But I think the reason why they chose to do that is they knew what look the character needed and what emotions that character needed to convey, and they just thought Peter Cushing was just the best fit for that. I don't think it was, oh yeah, it's Grand Moff Tarkin. I don't think that was even on the table when they were writing it. I think that Peter Cushing just had the look they needed for the character that they were designing. So no, it's not Tarkin.
Yeah, I don't think it's Tarkin either. It's just, it doesn't seem fitting. I don't think
he's not force sensitive.
No.
And he's too short. Like,
yes, I mean, Snoke is tall.
Most impressive.
But I just don't think that a lot of the Snoke theories have sucked. And now that this guy is adding fuel to the dead fire, literally, but it's weird. Why would they say that?
Well, here's what's going on here. First of all, he was on a podcast being interviewed about he's the designer for Babu Frick. He was the designer for some of those other creatures, and they just got to talking about this, and he threw out there that he based him off of Peter Cushing. But the real part of the story is he's a huge fan of that genre of horror movie,
and I fear nothing.
And the studio that produced all of those movies. And so the designer literally created Snoke around that idea originally because he was a big fan of Peter Cushing and he was a big fan of that genre. And he wanted to sort of throw an Easter egg in there for that version of horror movies in that studio. But then that was in The Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. What's really interesting is that when all these Snoke theories started and the real Snoke theory started about somehow Tarkin got off the ship and his ship was damaged as the Death Star blew up and that's where all his, you know, injuries were. They didn't know how tall Snoke was in Force Awakens. He's a hologram with it. So they created this theory that Tarkin was Snoke. So the designer's like, well, when he's designing the real Snoke, the physical version that we saw that Ross Sambridge actually played, we had him on our interviewed him a couple months ago. He actually patterned him after Peter Cushing more to sort of poke fun at the Snoke theory that it was Tarkin with it.
So. Yeah, I mean, you were talking about how they brought in something they loved into Star Wars as like a Easter egg, It sounds totally familiar for us.
Yeah, I mean, we brought in our dog, we changed it, we Tuckerized his name,
yeah.
Buster became Turbis. And
putting in something you love into Star Wars to kind of make it your own, in a sense.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool.
That's very cool. Grand Moff Tarkin is only seen very briefly in the Star Wars films, but animation, books, and comics reveal a complicated, layered character who is at the same time both sophisticated and a little horrific. Grand Moff Tarkin's impact on Star Wars is hard to truly describe, both in-universe and outside of it.
Hokey religions and ancient weapons are no match for a good blaster at your side, kid.
Rebellions are built on hope.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
As we do every week. Initial thoughts on Tarkin before we get into our main conversation about it. Who goes first?
So who talks first? You talk first?
I'll go first. Because that's what it says on the notes.
On the show notes.
You know, I like to compare Tarkin and Thrawn just because they're both very intellectual in their approach to things. They both calculate and think and out try to predict what their opponent's going to do. But I feel like the main difference between Tarkin and Thrawn, there's two main differences. One is Tarkin's just kind of more evil or like cold in
sadistic.
A sense.
Sadistic.
Yeah, sadistic. He enjoys making like a spectacle out of his opponents if he can defeat them. And then another is that he's a little too confident sometimes. You know, Thrawn realizes that this may not work out, and then he has like 14 different backup plans for it. You know, Tarkin's like, this is going to work because I say it's going to work. And that's just how he thinks.
Yeah. You're going down a path that I want to hold back on. Cause there's like so much I want to say to that. So I'm not going to say it yet.
Okay.
I'm going to hold it. BB.
Okay.
I enjoy the character of Tarkin a lot more than I do Krennic. I find Krennic to be annoying, but Tarkin is,
as does Tarkin.
Yes. I'm agreeing with Tarkin, but Tarkin is very sophisticated and strategic. But why I love Thrawn so much is because he accepts defeat. Tarkin definitely is one of those, the captain goes down with his ship, which he literally did with the Death Star, even though it wasn't his ship. But
no, he took it from Krennic, remember? He said, I'm taking it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's just he is very overconfident. Very overconfident. He thinks that no matter what, people will obey him. If it's a hostage, they'll tell them where a base is or where the location of something he wants is.
He even talks down to Vader in those sequences, you know, like...
like he's a guard dog.
Yeah, exactly. Like he's in charge of Vader and all of that. Yeah, it's a really interesting point. I've always associated with Tarkin with the Nazi idea that's present in especially Star Wars A New Hope. This idea of they're dressed like Nazis, they're stormtroopers, which is what the Nazi soldiers were called, some of them. He's dressed like, you know, he acts like a Nazi, and he's like, he's willing to annihilate an entire planet to prove a point. You know, I mean, think about it. She tells where the rebel base is, and he's like, I know she's lying, so just go
ahead. He was going to do it regardless.
Kill those billions of people down there just because I don't like you.
Right.
With it. That's Tarkin with it. The other, we'll come back to confidence because confidence really, I'll hold my stuff back for that. But
save it for the show.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we say all the time when we're meeting and discussing the show. Save it for the show. I'm going to save it for the end of the show with it. Talk to me about confidence then and give me some examples of when Tarkin shows this confidence, almost bordering on overconfidence, but at least just that characteristic.
Tarkin has a big opposition to the Jedi. He doesn't like them. At the beginning of the Clone Wars, he finds that they're useless because they're not supposed to be there. They're peacekeepers, they're diplomats, and it isn't their job. They're not willing to do what's needed to be done to finish this war. They're just trying to figure out everything in the most peaceful way possible.
They're not generals.
Yeah, they're negotiators. They're
yes, and Tarkin is one of those people that is like, okay, let's just annihilate the whole enemy. Let's just destroy all of them. Because that's the only way to win.
Mm-hmm.
Going and just destroying everything.
Scorched earth approach.
Yes.
The Tarkin doctrine is either they surrender, they submit to the Empire, or we destroy them.
Yeah.
That's the Tarkin doctrine in the Star Wars universe, they call
yes.
it. So
it's just, and he's had two Jedi that share his same ideals. He had to work with one. I know that the last name is
Evan Peel.
And he trusted that Jedi and respected him. And then he started to meet Anakin. And Tarkin kind of just made Anakin think the same way. Because it is a good idea. And it is smart. Because the Jedi are called to be peacekeepers and not warriors.
So how do peacekeepers lead people that were created simply to kill.
Yes.
That was their purpose. They yes. were created to kill. So that's really, really good. Samuel LaHat, talk about maybe a little bit about Vader with Tarkin here, because, you know, Anakin is Vader, and now they spend all this time together. It's kind of a cool.
Idea. He's always kind of had this. And we were talking about overconfidence and how he even talks down to Vader. There's kind of like a catalyst, not necessarily catalyst, but there's a point in the an issue in the Vader Dark Lord of the Sith comic series, which we mention all the time on this show
because it's awesome.
Because it's friggin' amazing. And there was this one episode where Tarkin hired a bunch of bounty hunters to literally hunt down Vader. That he was stranded on some planet, and he literally had killed the Apex Predator and had like a cloak that like made him go invisible. I mean, it was the craziest thing. So as they're, you have to go back and think about Tarkin's childhood when he like it was a rite of passage on his planet to go out into the wilderness and hunt down this beast, and if you survived, great. You lived. If not,
you're a man now. If you don't survive, you're dead.
Mazel tov. So, yeah. So he's experienced with hunting, right? He like it's part of his life, his heritage. So he's going and hunting Vader, and Vader's picking off his crew one by one in like a really pretty terrifying method. And they get towards the end, and they're on these big flatlands, and Vader is struck with lightning. And so Tarkin's standing over him like, I've won. There's nothing you can do now. You listen to me from this point on. And then Vader, as his last, you know, act of defiance, chokes Tarkin, and just to show, you don't have full control over me yet, which kind of goes to show that overconfidence. He swears he's got Vader in every way, and Vader's like, no, you don't, you're not as strong as you think you are.
When do you think Tarkin realized that Vader was Anakin?
Oh, geez. They mentioned it somewhere, I think.
Well, they mentioned it in the Tarkin book.
I didn't get all the way through that book.
You read part of it?
I read the beginning. That's
yeah.
How I know
so
about
they
the
mentioned
whole
it in the
thing.
Book that he's suspecting it, but he's not going to speak the words. When do you think there was the moment that it clicked for him? Because we've watched A New Hope, and when we watched it, we were like, "There's no doubt in that movie that at that point, Grand Moff Tarkin knows that Anakin Skywalker is Vader. He's mocking him about it in the movie. I mean, it's all a retcon. We know that, but it seems pretty clear.
Yeah. I couldn't give you specifics.
Yeah.
I feel like it'd be sometime during the comic series, because that is a good chunk of time there.
Yeah.
So it had to be during that.
You know, you bring up Thrawn, and Thrawn, you mentioned something where Thrawn has a backup plan to his backup plan to his backup plan to his backup plan. He's always got something else that he's trying to fix it, because he's confident, but he's confident that things could go wrong, and I better be ready for that with it. and I can figure this out. Mm-hmm. Versus Tarkin is, there's only one solution, and it's my solution. And I'm always going to be right, with it. You know, we start to see this in A New Hope earlier when Tarkin wants to use the interrogation droid against Leia, and thinking that's going to get the information out, and it doesn't work. And Vader's like, "I told you she wasn't going to talk," basically, with it. So then he has to pivot with it. But it really, really comes at the end. I mean, his life ends with his most famous line, really: "Evacuate in our moment of triumph. I think you overestimate their chances." He never believes that he can be defeated. It's not confidence. It's overconfidence. It's arrogance to it, and it's his downfall.
Literally,
it costs him his life. He's a really fun character. You know, the Tarkin novel is a fantastic novel. You should check it out. That episode or that issue of the comic is really told from Tarkin's perspective, right? He's the one telling the story of that comic in The Dark Lord of the Sith, right?
Yeah, it's following his story. Yeah,
it's his perspective on what's going on, which is fantastic.
I'm gonna read that issue now.
Yeah, you know, the Catalyst novel. And we talked about it last week with Krennic. He's a fun character. You should really dig into some of the other stuff about him if you haven't. As far as the dad moment goes this week, Princess Leia eloquently told a Grand Moff Tarkin, "The more you tighten your grip, Tarkin, the more star systems will slip through your fingers." Tarkin's grinning reaction betrayed his greatest weakness: overconfidence. If you never believe you can fail, you'll never be prepared for it when it inevitably happens. Overconfidence has been the downfall of countless men and women in history. Healthy confidence sees beyond failure. It doesn't ignore it. With that, next week, we're just going to go from like the first bad guys
to the newest.
So one of the last bad guys. We're going to talk about Kylo Ren, because how do you have an entire series on villains where you don't talk about Kylo Ren?
Yeah.
With it. So that'll be a lot of fun. All right. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
Anything else?
So is there possibly another Star Wars cantina coming to Galaxy's Edge?
This is madness.
Yeah, this is an interesting idea. Why don't you explain real briefly what that
is? Yeah, so there's a theory floating around. If we talked about how there's the new Tales from the Galaxy's Edge coming out, and you spend a lot of time in a cantina, a different cantina, not Oga's cantina, talking to this one guy who tells stories throughout the galaxy. And so there's a lot of people thinking that they might add a new cantina to Galaxy's Edge. So it kind of fits the game.
Yeah, they've talked about wanting the game to influence Star Wars canon as much as Star Wars canon has influenced Galaxy's Edge. I mean, Galaxy's Edge to influence it back and forth.
So. Yeah, I don't think this will happen because you're exploring more of Batuu outside, way outside of the park.
It's possible.
So,
okay. And I don't think you need two cantinas.
No.
Well, unless they, you know, it's hard to get a reservation at Oga's.
Taika Waititi.
I like this guy.
Has begun writing for Star Wars because he is leading the movies at 2023, but
yeah, he started writing.
Yeah,
that's all we know.
The press release was very strange.
It was short. Hey, I started writing. We're writing.
Yeah, it was.
That's all we're doing.
We're
writing.
It was weird.
Yeah.
Where's Rian Johnson's trilogy, though?
I know. I feel
it bad. Was canceled. Didn't you hear?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was
wrong.
Oh,
really?
For the 14th time.
But if you go to StarWars.com, it's still there. So you're saying there's a chance. all right, Colin Trevorrow. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
He says that the greatest part of working on Star Wars was working on starship models with his son. So he was designing actual starships. One of them is the one that we see at Galaxy's Edge, the Resistance or the First Order fighter that's there is the one he designed.
Okay.
Cool. For that. And he designed a bunch of others. And he's like, if I got nothing else from it, I got to sit around and design these ships with my son.
That's
and,
cool.
And I,
he's trying to make us guilty.
I suddenly like the guy a lot more.
I like this guy.
So, all right. You got anything to say very politely, BB Nate?
Okay. If you would please go and give us a review on iTunes or Google Podcasts, and it really helps us because it helps people find the show.
Or on Facebook.
You can do it on Facebook too. Yes. You can do it there too. But it just really helps people find the show. And if they do find the show and they see these fantastic reviews, then it helps them probably figure out if they should watch the show. So it's very, very helpful.
Yeah, and we haven't had a review in like a month and a half.
Yeah, we're losing our self-confidence. So yeah. Please.
Thank you. Thank you, BB Nate. All right.
And then go ahead and make sure you're following us on all our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, at Tatooine Sons. And then make sure you join our discussion group on Facebook. It's Tatooine Sons Discussion Group. And join that. It's a lot of fun. We're posting content all the time, family
you
friendly.
You can post content as long as it's family friendly.
Exactly. And what's cool about joining that group. Yes, is that it helps you kind of be a part of crafting the show. It helps, you know, you can provide, give us input. You can tell us what maybe we should talk about. We ask questions all the time. Y'all can rant if you want about why that aspect didn't work. It really helps us out.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, make sure you're tuning in on Monday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific for the big show, the main show, this one. And then throughout the week, we've got other videos that come out. It could be an interview here and there. It could be us talking further about some of the hot takes segments, whatever. We want to keep the conversation going. And there's other things that we don't get to talk about on the big show that we want to have a conversation about. So, make sure you're subscribing or turning on notifications or whatever, with that. And we will, love to have you guys be a part of that. Yeah. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Yeah. We really do appreciate it. It means the world to us. We love doing this show, and you're the reason that we get to do it. So thank you guys so much for that. All right. Should you guys say anything else before we go?
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Join, please. Yep.